Nice to see you all here this morning. If you're participating online, a welcome to you as well. Pray God's blessing is with you. My name is Luke. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Westgate. If you're a guest with us, a special welcome to you. We're so glad you're here. I know this is a season of exploring and those things. So if there's any way that we can help you get to know us, we would love to answer any questions you have. And of course, we would love to get to know your story as well. Just come find any one of us that you've seen up here. We would love to get to know you here this morning. Before we jump into today's message, I want to invite up a special someone. Jake, if you could come on up. This is your time. Everyone, this is Jake Tosted. Jake has served our church faithfully for about 2 years now as our next gen pastor. He's been overseeing our kids and youth ministry teams and supporting them, especially through some really challenging situations that came along. He kind of brought this like youth guy, veterans presence to the building and helped us navigate some things, and then has been leading our young adult ministry. Many of our young adults are sitting over here. And Jake is moving on now to a career in counseling. You just got your master's in counseling, yada, yada, something, something, letters, letters. And today is his last Sunday, so we're going to celebrate Jake after the service today with the young adults. But Jake, we wanted to just say thank you for your service to this body, for your presence, for your family, your amazing family. We plan to see you guys here continuing to worship with us and those things. So one more time, can we just say thank you to Jake for his work? If you have his number, he loves text messages, so send him lots and lots of thank you text messages. And in that vein, Jake has done a really amazing job over this summer helping us to prepare for what's next in our young adult ministry. It's been a really beautiful gift that he's provided for us, is doing a lot of praying and discerning about what's going to happen. And if you're a young adult, if you have a young adult in your life, just know we are absolutely beyond committed to you and providing opportunities as a church for you to stay connected with each other and for that ministry to grow. And Jake and I and a bunch of others have been working through a plan, but in order to see God's plan, we believe it's God's plan, come to light, we need a little bit of help, okay? And the number one thing we need, we really want to take our young adult ministry out of the church building, which can be a little daunting, and bring it into someone's home on a weekly basis, okay? And so we're talking about potentially like a Sunday night or a Thursday night, providing a space for a group of whatever, a few dozen young adults to gather, to connect. You don't have to, wouldn't have to lead anything. You wouldn't have to facilitate anything. But we are looking for that one special person who God might be calling to open their home to our young adults, okay? And that's, I'm just putting it out there in the world, all right, and asking, would you pray about that? If that's piquing your mind at all or interest, we would love to have that conversation with you. All you need to do is come track me down, okay? Or you can track Jake down for the next, like, hour and a half. Well, we've still got him on the payroll, okay? So there you go. I'll put that out there and appreciate anyone who wants to talk more about that with us. Okay, so as Andrea mentioned, we're in this series called Here and Now. And we are taking another look at the vision that God has revealed to our church. You can learn more about that by reading the whole thing on the website. We've got these booklets you can read about it. But the basic idea is this, that God has created something really unique and special about Westgate Church, which is that many of us, we understand not all of us, but many of us have experienced authentic, organic, meaningful friendship and community at this church. And that's a gift that doesn't always happen in churches these days. And so we can do one of two things with that gift. We can either hoard it for ourselves and say, wow, isn't it nice that we have a friendly church? Or we can take that gift and we can share it with the world around us. We can share the community that God has designed inherently in our bones, in our DNA, with the people around us that need it so desperately. Over the course of this series, we've talked about how God is calling us to combat the loneliness epidemic, which a couple of weeks ago we talked about how real and serious and statistically proven that particular problem in this cultural moment is pervasive in our culture. And God is calling his church to fight against that. Last week, we talked about how God is calling us to unite divided groups of people. And Pastor Kevin and Pastor Andrea talked about some of the divisions that we as a church are trying to tackle and bring unity within. And today we're going to talk about the third component of the vision, which is to transform neighborhoods, okay? So if you're tracking with me, we're trying to combat the loneliness epidemic, we're trying to unite divided groups of people, and we're trying to transform our neighborhoods, okay? And I just have to say, I'm going to pray here in just a minute, but I have to say that the whole sense of this series, the here and now sense, is that if this is living just up here in our heads, rent-free, just sitting there, it's really not doing anything. It's nice to agree to concepts and ideas. It's entirely different to put those things into practice, to go in the world, to bring the gift of community to the world around us. And so if you're hearing these messages, and if you haven't, please go back and listen. If you're hearing these messages and that's all, I would just say, like, man, what are we doing here, right? Like, let's go. The key to all three of these things is community, which is the ability to form relationships with people and extend the love of Christ to them as we do it. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll dive into the passages today. Thank you, Father. We sense the presence of your Holy Spirit here. We believe that you are with us. And God, just as you are transforming hearts and minds, I could feel that happening during worship today. God, we pray that you would continue to work not just in our hearts, but would you, Holy Spirit, work through us? Would you allow us to be carriers of the good news, the love of Jesus Christ into the world that needs it? Would you help us to be bold, to be courageous, to be others-focused, Father, to be carriers of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives every moment of every day? And God, now as we specifically think about our neighbors and your instructions to us, God, would you teach us, equip us, and inspire us to change and to go serve in Jesus' name. Amen. Funny, interesting story that happened earlier this summer. Hillary and I were having dinner with a couple of friends of ours. They are college friends that live nearby. They live in Maple Grove. We've stayed connected with them. We have kids that are similar ages. And we've had the opportunity to maintain a relationship that was established in college and sort of passively stay up to date on each other's lives and career and what's going on with you. And we end up talking about church things just naturally because that's my gig here. And they like to talk about their career things and the exciting things that are happening. They told us something as we were having dinner with them that really stuck with me. They told us that the gentleman, he said, probably the most exciting thing that's happened to us this year is that we've met some of our neighbors and started hanging out with them in the evenings. So then they go on to tell us that they've been, like, you know, getting together with to, like, do, like, workouts together, and they'll, like, say hi to each other when they're passing, and then in the evenings they'll, like, sit on one deck or another, and they'll just, like, talk and chat, sometimes into the late hours of the evening. And that's awesome. That's great. Happy for them that they made some friends. But what stuck out to me was that phrase, the coolest thing that's happened to us all year, is that we met some neighbors and are building a friendship with them. That's amazing, right? That something so simple could be so transformative, okay? So get your brains fired up a little bit here. Turn to a neighbor and tell them, what is your definition of the word neighbor? What's your definition of the word neighbor? Ready, go. Okay, good enough. Those are long definitions, people. Those are long definitions. Okay, I'm going to go with this as a definition of neighbor this morning. I don't know why, it just sort of stuck with me when I thought about it this way, is a neighbor is anyone within a stone's throw of your daily life. Anyone within a stone's throw of your daily life is your neighbor, okay? Now, some of you are probably amazing at connecting with these people and building friendships, but certainly no one does it perfect. So one more time, tell your friends that you're sitting by here, what are one or two reasons that you don't always make it a priority to connect with your neighbors? Tell someone, what are one or two reasons why sometimes you don't connect with the neighbors around you? Okay, so probably lots of different answers, probably lots of similar answers, okay, in that. The case I'm going to make here today, that God's Word is going to make for us today, is that we are being called as people of God, as followers of Jesus, into the work of building relationships, encouraging, serving, loving, and supporting those whom He has put around us. And that we must make this a top priority in our lives. A top priority, okay? As we think of those, whether they be in our physical neighborhood or our coworkers or people we go to school with or whoever it might be, within a stone's throw of our daily life, the two key ideas we're going to talk about here are that it is extremely important. Everyone say, this is a lot of participation. I appreciate you. Everyone say important. And urgent. Everyone say urgent. Good. Nice job. This is amazing. Okay. And this isn't just my ideas. This is from the Word of God. So if you would follow along with me as I read from Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 25 through 37 first, and we're going to talk about that first concept. And just so happens that in Luke's gospel, the title that's given is the most important commandment. Okay. So here's what the gospel writer, Dr. Luke, says. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked by over and looked at him, lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where they took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bills run higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, go and do the same. So this quite famous story of the Good Samaritan that I'm sure many of you have heard before is tied in terms of how Luke crafted his gospel together. It's tied in with that most important commandment, to love God and to love your neighbor. And, this parable doesn't need a whole lot of explanation, okay? You don't need to have, spent hours and hours studying the Bible to understand what Jesus is saying here, right? He's saying, of the 3 individuals that walked by this man who was left for dead on the side of the road, 2 of them, who happened to be quite religious, kept walking right on by, ignored their needs for whatever reason. I don't know what you just answered, but maybe they were busy. Maybe they were distracted. Maybe they had a lot of stuff they had to go take care of. Maybe they weren't really interested in dealing with someone like that, right? But then Jesus says it was the Samaritan, the one that no one would have expected to do this, who stopped, noticed the needs, stepped into the needs, fulfilled the needs, and helped the man. And Jesus makes it very plain that this is what it's like to be a neighbor in the kingdom of God. This is what the work of neighboring is in the kingdom of God, is to stop, set aside what else you think might be important, notice their needs, and meet their needs. That's what it means to love your neighbor according to Jesus right here in Luke chapter 10. Now, clearly, this wasn't very important to the priest that walked on by, to the temple assistant that walked on by, But it's literally, Jesus calls it, the greatest commandment, along with loving God, is to love your neighbor. It's extremely important. It is the most important in the kingdom of God, is to take the love you've been given and extend it to others. So one more time, everyone say, important.
Important.
Good job. Now Luke chapter 9, dial back a page. Verse 57, this is a whole different story, whole different situation, but extremely helpful for what we're talking about here this morning. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." So you have this interaction, Jesus, with three different people, all who claim to be followers or desire to be followers of this amazing man who had been performing miracles and working great things and saying incredible things. They all wanted to follow him after they took care of their business. And Jesus has these responses to them, which you might say, wow, that's pretty harsh, Jesus. Quite the rebuke he gives them. Let someone else bury your father? Really? Seriously? Maybe harsh is one way to think about it, or another way to think about it might be that it was Jesus being quite poignant. I love that word, poignant. I hate to spell it, but I like to say it. Or he was being sharp with them. He was saying what was necessary. Because our whole understanding, like, why did Jesus come in the first place? Why did God put on flesh, become the man? Is so that he could understand what it's like to be human, so that we could see with our eyes that Jesus understands what it's like to be human. So Jesus comes down. He understands what it's like to be a person. He knows his people. He knows our tendencies. He knows that we will always have an excuse that we think is more urgent than the responsibilities he gives us as his followers. I think about my own neighborhood. You know, it's like, I don't want to be the guy that comes up here and preaches at you and pretends like I'm doing it all right. I think about my own neighborhood, right? I'm driving by. I see the people. I'm walking by. I've got kids. I've got lawn to mow. I've got dinner to cook, right? It's so easy. It is a natural pathway in my brain to come up with a reason why I don't have time right now. Why I'm too busy. Or why it was too long of a day. I'm crabby. They don't want to meet me when I'm crabby anyway. Right? Whatever it might be. I know it's important, but I always find something more urgent. Everyone say urgent. Jesus is making it very clear that there is an importance and an urgency to joining his kingdom work here and now. And I'm going to assume that most of you, when you answered that question of, well, why don't you, what makes it hard, is something along the lines of, you don't have time, you're too distracted, or you're too busy. And I say that to say that I don't think this church, of the people I know at this church anyway, I don't think we really have a heart issue. Like, I don't think any of us would say, like, oh, no, I'm not supposed to get to know my neighbor. I'm not supposed to build a friendship with them. I don't care about people. Like, we don't have a heart issue here. But based on where we live and how our culture operates and all the stuff that we've got going on, we do have a priority issue. A pretty significant one, if you ask me. And I'm right there with you. So let's break it down a little bit. There's something I want to tell you about called the Eisenhower Matrix. Does that sound fun? Yeah. Dwight D. Eisenhower was the 34th president of the United States from 1953 until 1961. I'm not a history person, so that's why I had to look it up, and now I'm reading it to you. Before becoming president, he served as a general in the United States Army and as the Allied Forces Supreme Commander during World War II. He also later became NATO's first Supreme Commander. Dwight had to make tough decisions continuously about which of the many tasks he should focus on each day. This finally led him to invent the world-famous Eisenhower Matrix, which today helps us prioritize by urgency and importance. Here's the Eisenhower Matrix for you. So I love these four box things. They work really well for my brain, at least. So on the horizontal axis, you've got urgency. On the vertical axis, you've got importance. And in every task that we're presented with, everything that we're called to do, we have a choice to make. Which of these boxes are we going to put it in? Now, if something is both urgent and important, that means you have to do it now. You've got to make it happen. If something is important but not so urgent, you can schedule that for later. You can schedule that and make sure that you carve out the right amount of space and time for it. If something is urgent but not so important, see if you can't delegate that to someone else. Or see if you can't figure out a more efficient way to get that taken care of. And if something is not important and not urgent, then you're just going to want to let that one go. Okay? Nobody's got time for that kind of stuff. Okay? Now here's the key to how this matrix works. You get to choose what's important and what's urgent in your life. No one's going to make that decision for you. As much pressure as you might feel from the people around you to decide what's what, you get to choose what's urgent and what's important. Opportunities to love our neighbors will be presented to us. We get to determine how we fit those into our priority system. Okay? You can leave this up while I'm giving some examples here, okay? So, mowing the lawn, right? Stereotypical life example for those of us that are lucky enough to be homeowners, right? Okay, so here's the example. Paul and Jill, let's call them our neighbors, Paul and Jill, they present themselves. There's an opportunity. They're hanging out on their driveway. They don't look too busy. I could go over and get to know them, see how their day is going, have a follow-up conversation, a meaningful conversation with them, but the lawn needs to get mowed. Okay, that's important. All right, nobody wants to be that family with the grass, right? That's important, but it's not urgent. Right? Grass doesn't grow that fast. Okay, so we schedule that. We schedule that for another time. All right. Here's another example. So it's after church, let's say, in a few weeks, and you're driving home, and there's Paul and Jill hanging out on their driveway. They don't look like there's much going on with them. There's a great opportunity to build some relationship, have a conversation with them, but the Vikings game's about to start. That's urgent, that kickoff. It's happening now. I got to catch the 10 minutes before where they talk about what it's going to be. But, and this pains me to say it, but it's not that important. Amen. Right? So I'm going to delegate that situation to my DVR. Okay? Now, if it's the Packers game that's starting, that's neither urgent nor important. So that, you just delete that one right out of there and just get that off the radar. I'm so happy it's fall and I can start making those jokes again. Okay, here's another example, all right? I want to be fair about this, all right? You're coming home. Maybe let's say you have three sons and you took them to the park by chance and Paul and Jill are on their driveway and you could go over and talk to them, but one of your sons fell off their scooter and there's blood gushing from his knee, hypothetically, okay? Now, that is an urgent and important situation, and I think God would give you grace for not taking that moment to get to know Paul and Jill and deal with the blood situation, okay? Another example, you have a slide deck you have to finish for a big presentation coming up later in the week, or you really need to see what's going on with the stock market because it's a big day of trading out there, or there's tons and tons of toys that need to be picked up in the lawn before you can calm down for the end of the night. Are we busy? Of course we're busy. Of course we are. But Jesus says simultaneously that the most important commandment for his followers is to love God and to love your neighbor. And at the same time, he says, if you put your hand to the plow but keep looking back, you don't really understand how urgent this work is. Eisenhower once said that what's urgent is very seldom important, and what's important is very seldom urgent. But in this case, in the kingdom of God, showing his love to the people around us, it is both. It is both. I want to remind you of what God spoke to us through Andrea this morning. Are you waiting on God, or is God waiting on you? So you might be thinking, okay, I get it, Luke. Urgent, important, makes sense. But what does it mean to transform my neighborhood? We chose those words really intentionally. Like, does it mean just like meet them, be nice to them? And if you, I would say back to you in this pretend conversation that I'm having with myself up here, what does Jesus mean when he says, love your neighbor as yourself? What does he mean by that? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's how our neighborhoods are going to get transformed. And I want to remind you of the story of the Good Samaritan. This man walks by, he sees the man lying half dead on the side of the road, and the first thing he does is he observes, he notices, okay, this is a situation, this is a crisis moment. He evaluates the needs of the individual, and then he steps forward to meet those needs. And the reality is that you don't know what your neighbors, those within a stone's throw of your daily life, are going through unless you engage, unless you get to know them. You don't really know why your coworker is crabby all the time, but I'm willing to bet it's more about their circumstances than it is about their DNA. Very few people are born crabby. If you're a middle schooler in here or a high schooler in here, being kind to people, showing compassion, creating friendships, that's like a fish trying to swim upstream. And so you can join the crowd that labels certain people weird and sets them off to the side and leaves them to just be alone. Or you can join Jesus in offering to them some version of kindness and friendship and decency. I thought back to the different neighbors I've had in my life, and it really stuck with me. I'd never really done that before. In the different places I've lived, in the different places I've worked, I was kind of blown away as I started to think about even the ones that I know. And I'm not great at this, personally. I'm really growing and trying to understand how to do this better. But for even for me, as I look back at where I've lived and who I've worked with, I can quickly think of neighbors with marriage crises, neighbors that have dealt with domestic violence issues, neighbors that are widows, neighbors that have kids with disabilities and mental health challenges, neighbors in financial trouble, and lots of neighbors who don't know Jesus and his love. It was pretty shocking, actually, when I realized how much proximity I've had to people in need. So here's what I would do. Here's what I'm committing to do as much as I can get myself to really take this seriously. Three steps. First thing I'm going to encourage all of us to do is to walk and pray. Very simple. Walk and pray. All right? Sometimes the term prayer walking sounds a little Jesus-y, a little churchy, a little like, well, what does that mean? That sounds scary. But walking and praying is pretty normal, right? To walk is normal. To pray is normal. I could do that, right? You could walk by your neighbor's houses. You could walk by the different cubicles and desks and down the row of apartments in your hallway and those things, and you can pray. Ask God to clarify some things for you. Identify, illuminate, put a light bulb above the people's heads that he wants you to connect with. That's step one, walk and pray. Second, meet and ask, "Hi, my name is, what's your name? I do this for a job, what do you do? Oh, I have this class third period, what class do you have third period? I like to watch these sports, what sports do you like to watch?" Just meet them, ask some questions. And third, serve and invite. Serve and invite. Here's some cookies. Can I help you carry that thing, that heavy thing out of your truck? Would you like to join us for our bonfire tonight? We've got lots of s'more stuff ready to go. Serve and invite. And I believe in my heart, I believe that you can literally transform your neighborhood with these three steps. Literally. Transform your neighborhood with these three steps. A few examples we've had recently. Last week, Kevin and Andrea talked about our ministry at 36th and Lindale. And I won't rehash the whole story, but that ministry to that neighborhood, the transformation that we have seen God do in that neighborhood started with walking and praying, then meeting and asking, then serving and inviting. That's how that neighborhood, which was, I promise you, about as difficult of a neighborhood as you'll find, was transformed by God. In Hillary and I's own neighborhood 2 years ago, we were walking and praying and thinking about it and starting to try to get to know our neighbors, but realizing how hard it was, really difficult. So we became the block party people in our neighborhood. We just had our second annual block party a couple weeks ago. Not hard, but we do the burgers and the hot dogs, and then they bring the other stuff, and we put out tables, and church has lots of tables you can come get if you need tables. A third example you may have heard about our ministry called Mobile Hope that is just transformed so many people's lives over at a mobile home community just north of us here. And those individuals, the Dajewskis, they have just changed people's lives because of the way that they have served and invited and built community in that neighborhood, that part of the world. Another example, we have a gentleman here who started an organization called Free Bikes for Kids, and then he started an organization called Free Guitars for Kids, and Pastor Kevin shared this video with me that we wanted to share with you guys so that you could see a quick impact story of that ministry.
Last night, Free Guitars for Kids. It's a nonprofit group that started about 3 years ago by Terry Esau. He also runs Free Bikes for Kids. Their mission is to transform the lives of kids in the underserved communities through the gift of guitar. So they've already given away about 3,000 guitars nationwide. Last night, they gave away 30 more. This was at Burnsville's Party on the Plaza. The kids also got free online guitar lessons.
Oh, one of these days, there's going to be a kid who's going to be standing on the stage getting their Grammy, talking about how they got their first guitar from Free Guitars for Kids. But more important than that is just giving every kid a sense of hope that they are worthy, that they're worthy to be loved, that they're worthy of a gift, of something of value, that they're somebody, something of value. So we're just trying to spread joy and love and generosity.
The kids and their parents, they were excited. Find out more about Free Guitars for Kids online.
Simple enough, right? Transformative. Transformative in people's lives. And transformation doesn't have to be headline worthy. I just want to remind you about our friends. The coolest thing that's happened to us all year is that we've gotten to know some neighbors. We're a regional church. I don't know if you knew that or not. 65% of us live 5 or more miles away from this building right here. Imagine the impact we could have. Just this group right here. Imagine the impact we could have if even of a portion of us did a check of our own priority system and pressed into this ministry, this work of showing love that Jesus says is of utmost importance and is absolutely urgent. I want to invite you to just take 2 minutes here of reflection. I'll pray us through this. If you just center yourselves, try to picture those neighbors of yours. God, would you bring to mind right now some faces, some of your beloved children that you have put within a stone's throw of our daily lives? God, we confess to you that we, like the priest, like the temple assistant, we walk on by far too often. And I ask, God, that you would forgive those of us who are your followers. Would you forgive us for our lack of importance and urgency we've placed on this? And God, I confess to you that we so often make excuses when really we just need to reset our priority system. And God, where we need courage to make these connections, would you give us courage? Where we need creativity to come up with fun ideas and ways to do this, would you put those ideas in our minds and in our hearts? Where we need clarity about who it is that we're supposed to be connecting with, would you provide that clarity for us? Put those faces in front of our minds, in front of our hearts. And God, this is not tomorrow's work. This is today's work. Here and now, even amongst all the busyness of fall, even amidst all of the circumstances we're navigating, even though we have our own things we're trying to work on and figure out, God, would you empower us today through your Holy Spirit to transform our neighborhoods? Thank you, God, for the love, the grace, power that you've extended to us as your followers. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I promised you action steps throughout this series, so here's some action steps for you. This has been really cool to watch over the last few weeks, as I certainly don't expect all of you to, you know, all of these to illuminate, but for those that things are popping up, it's been really interesting to have those conversations. First, this one is for everyone. I would encourage you to walk and pray in your own neighborhood. To second, if you don't do this already, just find some simple note system or map where you can actually keep track of names. I know that sounds really silly, but if you're not doing that yet, please start. At least know their name, and then you can start jotting down little tidbits about them. What do they do? What are their kids' names? What's the dog's name? Third, we're going to try. I'm going to see if God brings together a group from this church that wants to not only do this in our own neighborhoods, but also put some extra effort and attention to the neighborhoods surrounding this building. And so I would like to invite you, if you feel called into doing that with me, to come let me know. And a group of us are going to, we're just going to start by walking and praying. Just walking and praying the neighborhoods around Westgate here, see what God does with that. Fourth, Andrew already mentioned drive-through prayer. What a way to transform someone's life, to transform our community. Please do check that out and sign up. And fifth, if you've ever heard of Hammers of Hope ministry, or if you haven't, there's these handouts that you can find on your way out the door. This is for anyone who has some time on their hands, has some skills and abilities in the area of like home maintenance, lawn care, upkeep, those types of things. We're really firing up this ministry in a new way and would love to have you participate. If you know anyone that needs a project done in their house, the Hammers of Hope group would love to do that for them. And last, I'm going to have Andrea come up and close our service today. Just want to, once again, invite you to our kickoff Sunday coming up on September 7th. We'll do the food trucks after the service, which we're really excited about. We love doing that. If you're able to help us either before the service, getting things set up, or afterwards with Teardown, we would really appreciate the help. You can find more details about that online. Would you please stand? And would you close us?
Heavenly Father, Would you help us be, here am I, send me people who look for opportunities instead of looking the other way. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a way for us to be a part of this community, that we have each other, that you've given us a family to be part of. God, help us extend this family. Help us to see our neighbor as family. Help us to see the person that we work with or the people that we encounter as part of our family. Because that's what you did with us. We love you, we worship you, and we are so thankful for your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like prayer, we have prayer over in this corner over here for yourself or someone else. Bless you as you go.